that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And you know it has rolled around again. Good morning. And this is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you on Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th, 2013, Saturday morning. And I don't know if I brought enough coffee over here. I hope I did. I got a thermos full, but maybe that'll be enough. Well, good morning, John.
Good morning.
How's the temperature down in Colorado?
Cold.
Cold. Yeah, it's cold here. And
I think it's minus 15.
Whew. And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And glad to have you guys
Howard
with us.
I think Howard sent his weather down from Alaska.
I think he did. And, you know, if this is Alaska weather, I'm glad we don't live there year-round. Because it is just...
Oh, it's colder than that there.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Yeah, we've been in the minus 20s, I think, for lows this week, and some of our highs have been in the single digits. But it's a precursor to winter. Winter's on its way. It's the kind of weather I guess we're supposed to have this time of year. But anyway, well, we welcome you, the remnant, to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we're coming to you live just outside of Laramie, Wyoming, from the snowy, cold radio ranch. And there is plenty of snow everywhere right now. But Jason, I'll ask you if you would open up in prayer, and then we'll just see where we go from there.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we thank you for this opportunity to be here and to focus on things that are different, Father. And we're grateful to be able to have that opportunity to have fellowship with one another and with the brethren from across the country. We do come before you this morning, and we pray on the full armor of God, having done everything to stand firm. We gird our loins with truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and we put on the helmet of salvation. We pick up the shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and we pray and petition for the saints. Pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Grant grant to us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. We pray that you deliver us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the power of the dog, and all that hate us, those that come against us. And we just pray, Father, for this war that we're engaged in, Father, that you grant us victory, that you strengthen us, that you allow us to rise higher and higher as our enemies are brought down lower and lower. We pray that you give us more wisdom, more knowledge, more understanding, that you pour your Holy Spirit out upon us, that you guide us and direct us in all that we do. We pray that you bless our hands and the labors that we do here, and let them be beneficial to the remnant. We pray, Father, for the remnant, and just ask, Father, that you just continue to look out after them and bless them and give them a spirit of discernment. We pray, Father, that you do forgive us of our sins, known and unknown, and that you continue to reveal to us the weapons of warfare that are made available to us, that you teach us how to use them, and that you bless us with them. We pray, Father, that we can be a blessing to you, and we thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us, those known and unknown. We pray that you just continue to shine your face down upon us, Father. Let us be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I'll ask you, John, we'll let age go first in reverence to the elders of us. Got anything particular you wanted to bring this morning?
Not yet. Still waking up. I defer to you.
All right. Well, got to talk to Brent in Arkansas last night. He called me, and just another praise report on his newborn son. Said he's drinking more milk and having a little digestion issues. But so he asked if we would keep Joshua in prayer for that. And you know, of course, mom and dad would rather have the baby and be home and right after you. The women have their children. Sometimes they can get a little depressed and whatnot, but he said they were sure thankful and wanted me to convey that on to tell everybody thanks for the prayers so far. And he said there was a little girl there in the children's hospital named Dixie that they were treating for leukemia. And they said they had just met them there, come to find out they're almost neighbors. They don't live very far from them. And so, you know, we got to talk just about, you know, that Romans 8:28 is true. If we love God, he works all things for good. And he was sure in agreement with that. But I told him we'd do that. We'd say another prayer for Joshua and also for this little girl, Dixie, that's there in the hospital with him. But it was sure good to hear from him. And yeah, he agreed. He'd, you know, he'll be able to get some sleep, you know, maybe next year sometime. You know, March, April, we were figuring. But that's okay. That's how it is. And but anyway, wanted to give that update out this morning. And Brent just said, again, heartfelt thanks to everybody for the prayers and the thoughts and the considerations. And said they're doing fine now, just concentrating on getting Joshua home and you know, doing what they have to do there. So John, you want to do that? Maybe just offer up another prayer for Joshua and then also for this little girl, Dixie, for health and healing.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do come before you, Lord, humbly, and just we lift up little Joshua and Glenda too, Lord, and we just ask for complete healing, Lord. We ask that you would just restore Glenda to strength and energy, and Lord, we come against any spirit of infirmity that may be upon this child, Lord, and we bind it in the name of Jesus Christ, and we ask that the Holy Spirit would fill it, Lord, and we claim this young man even now, this child, for your service, Lord.
Yes.
Let him be a mighty warrior in your army. Lord, we're grateful for that family and the blessing that they are to this ministry. Just ask for your continued protection to be about them, and we pray for this little girl, Dixie, too, there in the hospital, Lord, that if their parents aren't Christian, that you would show them the truth, Lord. Maybe allow Brent to share the gospel. And, Lord, we just pray for protection upon that child, too, Lord. And whatever it is that's ailing her, we pray that you would grant them grace and mercy. We pray all these things in the name above all other names, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, we can open up the phone lines in a few minutes, but I had a couple of news articles this week that kind of caught my eye, and one of them was had to do with this human papillomavirus, the HPV virus that the CDC recommends for girls and boys to get when they're teenagers, that supposedly, you know, prevents them from getting sexual transmitted diseases and all this kind of stuff. And of course, it's from Gardasil. And
for boys too.
They're recommending it for boys too. Yes.
Oh, wow, imagine that.
Yeah, how about that?
Didn't used to be.
No, but they did a. I did a little report a month or two ago. There were two sisters in I think Wisconsin that are like 18 and 19 now, or 19 and 20, something like that. But they got it when it first came out, and now neither one of them they don't have periods, and they have gone to doctors and whatnot, and basically the doctors have told them that they can't have children. Just a quick cliff notes on the story, and they're in the process of coming, you know, suing the drug manufacturer because of that. And that's just one of the really the lighter side effects that we've seen in the years that this Gardasil, this HPV has come out. You know, they've had there's been reports of girls just turning into vegetables and all types of nasty side effects that have come from this. And it's still relatively new, and you know, who knows?
Yeah, there's been several of them right here in Fort Collins that have just had their lives destroyed because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Within days after taking the vaccination.
Wow.
Yeah. And so
there's been girls that were, there was one girl here in town who was a star ass cheerleader, and went from that to not even being wheelchair ridden.
Yep.
Within a month, and can't hardly go out in public. I mean, horrible how it's destroyed her life.
Yeah. Well, Katie Couric, you know, she's a she's got a TV show. She's some, you know, daytime show, Katie, on Wednesday afternoons. You know, she was a news reporter and has moved on.
What are you doing watching
in.
That?
Oh, I didn't. I don't. But I got a news article on it that Katie Couric has been slammed as an HPV vaccine alarmist, because apparently on her show, she has, you know, she presented both sides of this. She had some doctors on that were proclaiming how good it was and how, you know, that it was saving children from getting disease. You know, the standard BS that they put out, that, oh, we need this and blah, blah, blah. But they also had this woman, Emily Tarsell, who was the mother of one of the patients that that claims her daughter died after receiving the HPV vaccine back in 2008. And then she also had this Rosemary Mathis, who started SaneVax, an anti-HPV vaccine advocacy group, after her daughter Lauren became ill from the shots. And so then they have a pediatrician that discusses why it's a life-saving cancer prevention measure and that type of stuff. And so, you know, so Katie Couric presented both sides. Is basically what it was. You know, this is a controversial issue, and so let's present both sides. And the news media and boy, they just came. Time Magazine just came against her, slamming her. How dare you speak against an immunization? You know, it doesn't matter that the statistics are there that show that there's problems, and that the what is it, the Vaccine Injury Council, that has billions of dollars, that pay out millions and millions of dollars for proven vaccine side effects, that is out there. But they don't run that in Time magazine. They don't want Katie Couric talking about that on Daytime with Katie.
And she forgot who owns that station.
Well, we'll see what goes Rupert from here. Murdoch. That's right. We'll see what goes from here. But, I thought, one, that it is encouraging that even on daytime TV, that the truth of these poisons gets out. It may not get out completely, but it may be just a seed that's planted that, because we've
could be
reported
that,
on these.
You know, they put it out, they put enough of the information out just so they have somebody to attack. And, as a warning to the other talk show host, saying, hey, don't you get on this bandwagon, you're going to be labeled
as an alarmist as well.
Alarmist,
right.
A vaccine alarmist.
And this just happened, I believe. This was just this past week. And so I agree with you, Jason. That's why I said, let's just see what happens. You know, if she comes out with an apology, which is usually what happens, or it just is swept under the rug and you don't hear anything else about it.
Probably what will happen.
Yeah. The enemies that we have, they create these diseases. They create these shots that cause
them. You'll hear a little bit more about that.
Good. Well, good.
Not about that specific subject, but about what the Antichrist have done for years and years.
Yeah, they have. So, anyway, just that kind of caught my eye because we do report on, we have that booklet, just to let everybody know out there. It's called Warning, Vaccinations Are Dangerous to Your Health. And it was written by Pastor Peters years ago, and it is an excellent little reference pamphlet if you're facing, or if you're trying to figure out if you want to have your children vaccinated, or, just as flu season rolled in, what they call flu season this fall, we had four different members of our congregation, extended congregation, contact our office that had... that were being required, people that work, whether they're nurses or work in clinics and things like that, but were being required by what they were saying, state law or the company regulations, to get the flu shot to continue working there. And I think one was for a person that interviewed to work, but they had to prove they had to get the flu shot to work there, and three others were to keep employment. Some people had been there 20 years at places, and we did that. We sent out some information we have on vaccinations, and we have a little vaccination proclamation form, and we prayed for those people, and we prayed that they would that God would guide and direct them. I remember one that was wanting to work at this hospital, and the young lady had filled out the state exemption form, because many states do have a vaccination exemption form for religious purposes, and had filled it out and sent it in, and the place she was going to work at wouldn't accept it. And so here's the state law that says she could be exempted, but the place she wanted to work at wouldn't accept that. And so, I believe our advice to her was, do you really want to work at a place like that? But it is a very controversial subject, but we've had our local church family. I've spoken with families there just in the last month that it is becoming a great issue with, for various reasons that we really don't have time to go into here, but. The choices we make many times have far-reaching effects, especially with this type of stuff. So if you're listening in, tuning in out there on shortwave or internet or the KU band audio satellite, and you're not familiar with this, with what we're talking about, the HPV vaccine and other vaccinations that the enemy puts upon us, you can write to us and request the pamphlet that Pastor Peters did years ago, Warning, Vaccinations are dangerous to your health. And our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And our website is scripturesforamerica.org. And, you know, along those lines, guys, this week, I think I sent it, forwarded it out to you guys, but we got a reception report from Germany that the person had never heard of us, but was hearing preaching by the pastor and wrote in and gave us a reception report and that type of thing. And I wanted to share that with everybody this morning, that these broadcasts truly are worldwide. They go from sea to shining sea and further than that as well.
Amen.
Well, guys, the phone's ringing. Let's pick that up. And good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, Richard. This is Willis over in Southern Illinois. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing well, Willis.
Good. How you doing, brother?
Doing real good. Hey, listen, I just wanted to let you guys know, I was hoping to listen to the show this morning. When you switched over from 5830, it never went to 94.75, and they've still got programming on 94.75 that was on before your show started.
Well, Willis, thanks for letting us know. We'll get a call out to the station and see what's going on out there.
Okay, I just thought I'd let you know. I was kind of anxious to listen to the show this morning, but unfortunately, they haven't switched over. I hope you guys are having a blessed day, and everybody's staying warm, and look forward to hearing the show, if not this morning, on a repeat.
All right. Well, thanks, Willis.
You guys have a great weekend.
All right, you too.
You too. I'm sure Jason's checking on that right now.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes that happens, shortwave. It happens that way. But these broadcasts are archived at the website, sfawbn.com. That's our network website, and that's where the complete broadcasting schedule can be found for programs like this, Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And the programs that we have are archived there. And so you can go there. You can all the programs are listed, and give us a day or two to get the archives up there, and then you can go back and listen to them. And then also the schedule is there, because these programs will be replayed. This particular coffee will be replayed later today, and then I think again Monday evening as well, at the live broadcast hour at 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern. And so appreciate the call, Willis, and yeah, we'll get that taken care of. Well, guys, the other big news event that if you drove around town yesterday, did anybody notice the flags at half-staff?
Oh, no, not for Nelson Mandela.
For Nelson Mandela.
In the U.S., wow.
Yes, that is only the third non-American that the United States has lowered the flag for when the person has died or has required that to happen. One of the popes was one of the other ones, and
probably John Paul.
I'm trying to think who the other one was. I noticed it this morning. I didn't print the report out, but anyway, yeah, it's in the headlines that have been coming out. You know, it's our favorite son, Africa's favorite son, is who has passed away, and we'll see. You know, I think that's another thing that we just have to wait and see what comes out of South Africa. The threats have been that the kill the Boer, kill the white farmer, that Nelson Mandela used to sing, that the ruling party there and the majority of the blacks in Africa there still sing today. You know, the rumors and the threats have been that when Mandela died, was going to be the event that caused them to stop singing about it and start acting it out, more so than they have been doing. Our brethren in South Africa have been slaughtered. There's been over 30,000 white farmers that have been killed, brutally, brutally butchered and murdered and raped and pillaged since the end of apartheid there in South Africa. And so time will tell what continues to go on there, and if this does change.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard the Obamanation speak about it when it first happened. It about made you want to puke. We've lost one of the greatest men in the history of the world that we've had a chance to associate with on this earth. It's like unbelievable. Go ahead.
Well, it's amazing to me how many people you see them mourning and flags at half mast, and how quickly people forget. You know, in 1990, he was on death row. He was in life in prison.
Yep.
In 1990, he was indicted on and admitted to 156 acts of terrorism that killed thousands of innocent women and children.
Yes.
Planting bombs in subways, putting bombs all over the place. I mean, blowing all kinds of stuff up. And I mean, was a terrorist. They used to torture people by filling tires with gasoline and putting them around them and torturing them. And you know, that those are some of the things. I mean, talk about as the torturous things that he was responsible for and did, and that's why he was in prison for. He should have been killed, and was somehow they got him off of. They were going to hang him for a long time, and then they were going to. I can't remember what other forms of execution they were going to do over there, but they were going to execute him. But then somehow he gets life in prison, and you know, by 94, he was president. You know, in 4 years, the Communist Party had made enough headways in that country to get him released and to get him into the presidency. You know, that
wasn't it a U.S. president that got him pardoned? I think it was.
Well, no,
they gave him medals of honor.
Yeah, yeah, he got the U.S. Medal of Freedom. But the original George Bush had him on the worldwide terrorist list. Just as recent as that.
And they had then he gets the Nobel Peace Prize after that. I mean,
yeah.
Hello.
You know, Jason, I found an article from Agency France Presse that told how they changed him from a terrorist to an icon. And I thought it was pretty neat. I'm going to forward it to you for the SFA Newswire. But basically, this organizer, Tony Hollingsworth, back in 1988, they had the big Free Mandela concert at Wembley Stadium in London. And, you know, part of the... It all had to do with changing the people's perception. I've got a quote here from him. He told the AFP, "You can't get out of jail as a terrorist, but you can get out of prison as a black leader." And so what they did is they, you know, here's another quote. "Mandela and the movement should be seen as something positive, confident, something you would like to be in your living room with, or would like to be in your living room with." And so what they did is they just started, you know, they stopped calling him a terrorist, because when they had the big deal on TV in 1988, the big Free Mandela concert. It got a quote here. It says, "We signed with the entertainment department of television stations. And when the head of the department got home and watched on his channel that they were calling Mandela a terrorist, they called straight to the news section to say, 'Don't call this man a terrorist. We just signed 11 hours of broadcasting for a tribute about him.' And that's how we turned Mandela from a black terrorist into a black leader." And so what they did is they stopped calling him a terrorist and started calling him a black leader. And that's how our enemy works. They put it out on the TV, and before you know it, this black terrorist that, as Jason said, was a bloodthirsty terrorist, would sing, "Kill the white farmer, kill the white boar, kill them all, run your spears through them," and still did, up until before he died, still promoted that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, over 86,000 people that are directly related to being murdered by him.
Yes.
That's 86,000 men, women, and children, and mostly white.
Oh, yes, mostly white.
You know
white.
The problem, don't you? They let the son of a bitch live for 27 years in jail.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And again, Remnant, if you're not used to this, if you're not familiar with what's going on in South Africa, you know, Mr. Hoskins, when he would have his newsletter come out, he would always try to give updates and whatnot on what was going on there in South Africa. But just a website that just does reports of what's going on out there, I'll give it to you real quick. It's called Censor Bug Bear, C-E-N-S-O-R. And then Bug, B-U-G, and Bear, B-E-A-R. Censor Bug Bear. Just a compiling. It shows the November 2013 murders and the hate crimes that are going down there. In 2013, in January, 20 were murdered. In February, 13 are listed here. And it just goes on and on and on. And it is basically the blacks in South Africa killing the whites, and they report on it somewhat down there, but you think the Always Barack channel here in the United States is going to carry it? Fox doesn't even carry this stuff. Fox was praising and just carrying reports about, oh, this great leader that's passed away. And so the times are certainly interesting. They are changing. We'll see what comes out of South Africa and what happens here as a result of this.
Yeah, I have some good South African friends here right in town, and they know the truth about that man. And I'll tell you what, it was interesting to have a conversation with them right after
I
found out.
I bet. You know, our we spoke of, we have a family that's on the ministry here that we've spoken with, that were in South Africa, were just outside of Cape Town. They moved this past year. And I asked him why. He calls about once a month, and he said it's just not safe in South Africa for whites anymore.
Nope.
And he has a wife and three children, and he moved to basically the next country, which would be like us moving, you know, a couple hundred miles maybe into a different state. And a couple of my sons are kind of pen pals with his, and they were writing this past week, and George was reading some of the letters that he had gotten from South Africa from the young boy over the last couple of years, and he even said, yes, we have the beaches were once beautiful, but there's only a few we can go to because the others aren't safe, because if you go to them, you'll get robbed. And see, that's just a way of life that this little 9-year-old boy knows down there in South Africa. And if all you do is get robbed, you're lucky. And, well, we'll see. We'll see what comes up of it. Well, folks, you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We'll open up the phone lines, 307-745-5913, if you want to give a call in and offer some comments, and we're going to be here for at least another half hour, and
yeah, it's just amazing how people's minds have changed, though, and how quickly they forget, and how they can allow, you know, the media to change the minds, you know, from it going from a terrorist to a leader.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, you look at
the actions are the same. The, you know, the what he did isn't changed.
Right.
It's the way he's portrayed it.
Right. They even offered him. I was reading and researching this a little bit. They offered him amnesty. They said, "We will let you out of prison, and you know, do away with the rest of your sentence. If when you come out, you will denounce to the people using violence as a means of." You know, denounce the violence of your organization and just, you know, be like how they tried to promote Martin Luther King Jr. here, you know, as a nonviolent type. And again, I understand it was just in the promotion of it, but they offered that to him, like in 1980. And he said no. He said no. He refused it. He refused amnesty if it required him denouncing violence.
Against
the white people, and yet they give him the Nobel Peace Prize when he gets out. So yeah, it is. I think this was going on this week and doing some research on it. It reminded me of what's happened here in this nation, of course, with many, many things, but with one, with the term the Judeo-Christian ethic. There used to be a Christian ethic in this nation. But the Judaizers, the Antichrist, have crept in, and they've substituted the Judeo-Christian ethic. So now you'll hear Beck talk about the Judeo-Christian ethic, and you'll hear pastors. You'll see news reports and things if you see the few pastors that will put writings and stuff out. And they'll attribute the Judeo-Christian ethic back into the days of the Revolution and the pilgrims that came over. And, you know, that is a spell that's been cast on America. Because Judaism, which denies Christ, is the exact opposite of Christianity that is based on Christ. And yet they tie these two opposites together, and they put it out enough to where the people just accept it.
Well, if you look at it, what they've done is there is no longer Protestant churches. They're evangelical. They've done away with the protesters in the Protestant churches were those that protested things that were against morality, against God's laws, against God's people. But they've been removed.
Yeah, they have.
And now it's all evangelical. It's all feel-good.
Mm-hmm. Prosperity.
Laodicea.
Yep, prosperity. God loves you and wants you to be blessed, you know. And
the people love
you're right.
It. They eat it up.
They do. It seems like we read somewhere about the prophets prophesying falsely and the teachers teaching of their own accord, and my people love to have it so.
Yep.
Well, we do our best here to not do that. To not prophesy falsely, to not teach of our own accord, but to put the word of God out and the truths, because that's what we all learned under. We all learned under Pastor Peters. And that was one of the mainstays of the ministry then, and it still is. And that is that we're going to give you the truth. We're going to give you the truth that Nelson Mandela did not deserve the Nobel Peace Prize, that he was a terrorist that hated whites and promoted the killing of whites through his entire lifetime. And if you don't like that, or if that doesn't sit with you as being politically correct, then just reach over to your radio and change the station. Or go to your internet and click off the broadcast and don't come back if you don't want truth. And it's the same way in the Bible with what comes right out of the Bible. The Bible says you must be born again of the water and the Spirit, and it means you must be properly baptized. You must repent of your sins, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so you have to change that. The natural man has to die, and there has to be that shed blood. And our Lord and Savior did shed his blood on that cross at Calvary, not for you to just believe and raise your hand and say the sinner's prayer, oh, I'm a sinner, Lord, please save me. Oh, bing, that's it. No, that's not what the Bible says. And if that's what your preacher says in church on Sunday morning, you call him the liar that he is. Because the Bible says you must be born again. You must be baptized. Baptism now doth save us. And so that's the truth of the Bible. And that's the type of things you're going to hear that you do hear from this ministry. Well, guys, the phone's ringing again. Let's go to it. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, guys. It's Dee from Oklahoma.
Good morning, Dee.
I couldn't hear you the first 30 minutes, but I just caught up the last few minutes.
Well, good.
You guys sometimes come in and sometimes you don't until about 8:30.
We were just getting warmed up the first 30 minutes anyway. But
okay. I was just going to tell you, last night ABC had an hour special called Nelson Mandela, a man who changed the world. And then they said they're going to have a special service for him at the National Cathedral next week. And I was thinking, like, Margaret Thatcher and other world leaders have died, and they've never had services before at the National Cathedral or done hour specials on them.
No.
So I thought that was interesting. And then the other thing was they had the Sound of Music live the other night with Carrie Underwood, and they promoted it as, you know, a family program. And for the most part it was. There was a Kiss that was way too much for kids to see. But mostly it was a good, you know, wonderful program, but I thought it was interesting. They took the Reverend Mother out of the story of the musical in 1938 Germany, and she was black in this new one. And she was very first on the, you know, first thing you saw, and she's all throughout the musical. And Carrie Underwood's character, she was kissing her ring twice and knelt down before her and always asking her permission and advice. And they made her a real central figure in this musical. I just thought that was, you know, in keeping with this push that we're having on TV and everything with the, you know, push of the blacks, where if you were to watch it, you would think we were South Africa.
Well, that's part of the plan.
Yeah.
That's part of the plan.
I have noticed, too, more and more Asians are being represented. And the ironic thing is, if you look at numbers, Hispanics are the largest minority, or becoming so. You hardly ever see them represented. It's always blacks and now some Asians, which I think is China's influence.
Good point. Good point. It is. The alien among us goes higher and higher, and there are many aliens among us. And they go higher and higher, and we go lower and lower.
Now, I think the Hispanic, the reason they're not being represented, too, is they're very pro-family and very pro, whether they're Protestant or Catholic, very Christian. They, you know, I don't think the powers that be like that, so they don't get
represented. A lot of them are outraged over the RU486 bill and the provisions for abortion and all that, and abomination care.
Right, they are. Yeah. And a lot of them, you know, Dee, I'm going to correct you a little bit. You said a lot of them are Christian. A lot of them have the family values. A lot of them are we are Catholic. The majority of them, I think, are. And we have to be careful, and you know, they may have good intentions, but they may exhibit Christian tendencies, but we just have to make sure we're careful there. But I agree with you. I think one of the reasons that the media doesn't promote them as much is because they do have those family values. They do exude those Christian values in many things that they do, and they are, a lot of them are hardworking people. A lot of them are.
Look at the Mormons. They're some of the best morality people around. Hardworking, take care of each other. But if Jesus Christ isn't their savior, they're not Christian. Sorry.
Right. But the media, they don't want anything to do with anything like that. And you know, so you'll have your few little shows and. But you know, you don't see the Hispanic TV. I mean, there's a few stations that are like that, but you know, your black entertainment and your black TV and all that's the growing segment, because they know that you know, the black community is nothing but cannon fodder to the antichrists, as a way and a means to destroy the white race. It's just as simple as that. It's one of the battles that's been going on for good and evil, and that's why the enemy promotes it. The enemy can't stand anything that's good, that has Christian values, family values, that's hardworking, that doesn't want to stand in line and get a handout, and that they can control, or that they can't control with mob rule like they can with the blacks. So. Well, Dee, thanks for your call. We'll try to get this other caller on.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And we'll go to the Southern Line. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, Wranglers. Timmy from Maine.
Good morning, Timmy.
I was only able to pick up the last half of the broadcast. I don't know if you reported on this, but Nelson and his ex-wife, Winnie, committed many necklacings. This involves placing a gas-soaked tire on the victim, first cutting the tendons off the victim's arms and possibly the legs, and then setting that tire on fire. They did this to probably hundreds, maybe thousands of children. The Mandelas were monsters and pedophiles. Winnie was a known pedophile.
Yeah, Tim, we did kind of report on that a little bit.
pulled out of Africa, I mean, those countries reverted right back to savagery.
Yeah. Well, remember, too, that
socialism
South
communism.
Africa was a Christian country, too.
Yes, it was founded
it
as
was.
A Christian country. It was. It was founded. Its settling was very similar to our settling, this nation's settling, the breaking from the British Crown and from being a colony. Very similar history.
And it was abundantly blessed too.
It was.
It was some of the most fertile ground in the world. I mean,
yeah.
Those people who know or who were there when it was a white plantation, they knew the wealth and the value that country had.
Yep.
And Henrik Van Ward was the prime minister throughout the early 60s. I think he started in the late 50s. He was an excellent prime minister, and he was assassinated in 1966. And I think de Klerk replaced him right after that, and de Klerk was another socialist devil answer to the Illuminati. The Boer Wars caused South Africa to go. The Dutch were conquering the Boer Wars by the British, and I think it started to decline under the British. But South Africa got its independence, and it was blessed. But a lot of the black rulers just can't handle the power. Look at Robert Mugabe in Zimbabwe, which used to be Rhodesia.
Yeah.
Look what happened to it. Just degenerated into full-scale communism and savagery. And that's it, brothers.
Timmy, thanks a lot for the update.
Thanks.
Thank you. Well, as Walter Cronkite used to say, that's the way it is, folks. Like it or not, believe it or not, but it is. There is an enemy out there, an enemy. If you're a Christian out there, there is an enemy out there that hates you, that'll tell you not to hate, that tells you to love no matter what. But that enemy hates you, and their every desire is to steal, kill, and destroy, because they do the desires of their father, the devil. And, you know, it's our job to try to get your eyes open to that as a start, and to let you see that everything you see out there is not the way you may think that it is. Time for a little more coffee. Well, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. And how about that? You say that and the phone starts ringing. That's a pretty good deal. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning. It's Robbie in Texas. How you doing?
Good morning, Robbie. We are abundantly blessed.
Yeah, me too. So you got some snow up there. I saw it on the webcam from Wyoming. Looks like you guys are a little chilly.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. It actually warmed up today. It was only 6 below zero this morning. The last few mornings, it's been about 26 below, and Jason and I were talking, and that is a noticeable difference. It's still cold, but I won't quite call it a heat wave, but it's not as cold. How about that?
Well, I wanted to run something by you. Back in the early 90s, I was sitting one weekend over on the East Coast, and the Jesse Jackson Show came on. Distinguished leaders, black educators, and all that, a talk show format thing. One of the comments they brought out on this program, I saw it on national TV, was that the intent of the new black generation is the genocide of the white race by the overbreeding of the black. And I thought about that. And I said, in the last few years, I've seen that that's exactly what they're trying to do. Trying to take us out, have no more white race anywhere. We're an endangered species. Just thought I'd point that out and see if anybody else saw that or heard about it. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Robbie. Well, interesting point. The whites are no longer the majority. I know in Denver, it was 2 or 3 years ago that they're no longer the majority in even places like Denver. So, there's another phone call. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I had a little bit of info on that, on something to do with South Africa that a lot of people may not know about. You know, it had been settled by the Boers, which were Dutch, and they had gone to South Africa to get themselves removed from the Catholics, and they went to the farthest end of the world to set up a place to be separate. And all was fine there until gold and diamonds were found. That was basically the downfall, because Gladstone and Disraeli were maneuvered into position as prime ministers in Britain, and then Britain was used to come down and conquer the country so that they could take those mines away from those people. That was the whole reason for that Boer War. And here's the interesting thing that a lot of people don't know, is that much of the money from those mining was used to channeled up and through the Warburg banks in Germany and up through Finland, and used, taken over into Russia to fund the communist revolution. Big time money was needed for this, and that was big time funding for it. So, and the interesting thing was that those Dutch that had come down there originally and settled that place, that was only part of the Dutch that had left Holland and Frisia. Another half of them went east and had gone over by the mouth of the Vistula, by Danzig, and then later moved from there over into the Ukraine. And they were one of the A1 targets, number one, of who the communists were trying to extinguish over there. You had, between the Germans and the Dutch, there was almost a million of them living on the Volga that had gone east into Russia when Catherine the Great had her great manifesto. She allowed immigrants to come in from all over Europe, and because they had pushed the Turks south, and they needed immigrants to come in there and resettle all that land, you know, just north of the Black Sea.
Yeah, the history of South Africa is like we said earlier. It's in many ways it mirrors the beginning of our country, the settling, to further the Christian religion, to be separate from the false established religion of the day, and God blessed it. He blessed the settling for quite a while, but you're right. And I've likened it to our children when we've talked to them about it and stuff. Is imagine if the colonies had not broken from England in the Revolutionary War. Imagine Cornwallis beating Washington instead of Washington and his forces forcing the British to surrender. If that war would have drug out for another 10 years as a civil war type, and the British would have continued to employ the Indians more and more and more to come against the white settlers of the Pilgrims and the colonists, and if England would have won, and I think that's very similar to what happened in South Africa. The English paid the Zulus and the black tribes. They supported them against the Boers because the English wanted to rule all of it down there because of the greed. Just like you said, because of the gold that was found and the coal and the vast natural resources that are still so abundant in South Africa, and the vast amount of wealth that has come out of there.
Well, you know, the crazy thing was that Britain was used to fight the war and to conquer that country, and great huge slaughters of British citizens to create that. The Black Watch was from Scotland. Scottish troops were almost wiped out completely to the man, you know, fighting the Boers. But Britain really didn't, you know, the British people really didn't benefit much from all that material wealth that was coming out of Africa. Because, like
no.
I said, it was being funneled over to fund the Russian Revolution, you know, the Communist Revolution.
Yep.
So.
They say in London that they have a statue of Mandela there, too, I guess, though.
But there's your communist connection.
Yeah. Yeah, he was more communist than Martin Luther King Jr. was, because he had longer to do it, and by his fruits, we've seen that.
The thing was, you know, also that a lot of people don't understand, those blacks that are there, are not descendants from blacks that had been there prior to the colonists. Those blacks were brought in there to work the mines, and that's where that came from.
Yeah.
They were not indigenous to the area. When
the
Boers moved there, it was just pygmies.
Right. Places like Cape Town and things like that and that whole South Africa were basically devoid of people. Again, it's very similar to when the Pilgrims came to America and there were no Indians for 50 miles. And that's how places like Cape Town and things were.
No one wanted to live there.
That's right. None of
it had just low growing grass. Yep. And they brought sheep down. They were growing sheep on there, you know, because the sheep could live on that kind of an environment. And then they were selling that off to the boats that were docking there as they went around the Cape, you know.
Once the whites came in and settled the land and cultivated the land and drilled wells and brought water up and made the land fruitful and multiplied, then, as happens,
you read the books on Britain's excuse for attacking them, and it's just ridiculous. It's because they hadn't bought themselves up to the standards of what other Europeans should be.
Yeah.
they hadn't built the infrastructures of the universities and the roads and the museums and stuff that they should have. That was the excuse that they used to go and attack them.
Well, hey, I appreciate the call, and we're about out of time, but thanks for the updates on that.
Okay.
Thanks so much. All right.
Bye.
Well, guys, we're running out of time here.
You look deeper into that, too, and the UN's involved.
Oh, and that today? And Mandela and all that? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, even then, I bet you that the UN was basically a strong arm.
I think they were the ones that were behind it all.
Yep.
Well, guys, any closing comments?
Yeah, it's like you said at the beginning. Anniversary Pearl Harbor murders 72 years ago. 2,402 Americans were murdered and 1,282 were wounded at that slaughtering bin out there in Pearl Harbor.
And our government knew about it.
Absolutely. You know, we've been talking about quite a few SOBs today, and Roosevelt, he was right there up there with them.
Yes.
You know, murdered under his authority, and you know, so just so people remember out there that, you know, and if you don't have very much information on it, it's worth looking into because it's obvious. You do some digging. That was known about. They knew, you know, they knew those planes were headed there. They knew what was going to happen, and you know, Roosevelt needed it to get him involved in the World War. Otherwise, the people wouldn't back him because they didn't want it. They didn't want to get involved in another fight.
That's right.
So he had to have a murder. Had to have you know, it looked like an unsolicited attack. Which
right.
You know, you dig more into it, and you can figure out that, you know, we just provoked Japan from doing it anyway. And
kind of like 9/11, huh?
Exactly. So, but it's a good thing to remember on the memorial for that
amen.
You know, those men that were murdered there, they're not forgotten.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
There's a misconception in this ministry too. Some, you know, I know that there's some veterans who take offense, but we are not anti-veteran. We are anti-sacrificial lamb.
Right. We are pro-truth. Pro-truth.
Yes. And I remember Dad, he used to fly that American flag proudly in front of the church until we went into Iraq.
The Iraq
and,
War.
People were, you know, clapping and watching as innocent people were being bombed, and that's the day he took down that flag, and he never flew it again.
That's right.
We're not anti-patriotic, but we are pro-truth, and we do thank the veterans. And there is a lot of veterans on this ministry.
There's a lot of good men out there that have served their country well. Absolutely.
That's right.
Amen. And we say thank you.
And many of the ones that have done that and have come out are in agreement. They know from firsthand experience that that the government lied to them, the government lies to us, and the government will turn on its own people in no time at all.
Yep.
Well, guys, we're out of time. We'll invite you to church tomorrow. Come to church with us. Come to scriptures4america.org. And at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast tomorrow morning, click on the live video stream if you have a good internet connection. If not, click on the live audio stream, and we'll have a church service for you tomorrow. So, guys, we'll see you there. We'll go out with this song. The pastor sure liked it. We do, too. Thanks again, men.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more, stay high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.